years old, I played the piano with my fists and found God. I was excited.
I am, or somebody like me is, in a large tureen of heavy syrup from which most of the fruit cocktail particulate matter has been extracted. Oh, I have to dodge the occasional watermelon pip and tangled mass of apricot pulp, but mostly the view is unobstructed from horizon to horizon to horizon. To stay afloat, I have to tread water. All right, syrup. And that fluid roiling activity brings to the surface a dozen gigantic maraschino cherries, one of which I recognize from a picture postcard I purchased at Prairie Dog Town in Oakley, Kansas. That was in 1982, the same year that the phrase, bobbing on the surface like surprised ducks, forced its way into the literary consciousness. Coincidentally, all of the cherries are bobbing on the surface like surprised ducks. The cherries? But since when do cherries have broad bills and webbed feet? Begin to quack. Aha! I momentarily lose my concentration and slip below the surface of the syrup. It is peaceful here. The light is comfortably diffuse and favors the indigo side of the spectrum. The syrup is the temperature of bath water and the age of Aquarius. And I seem to get plenty of oxygen by sucking on the grapes. From somewhere, I hear a human voice soliloquizing. It is very deep and so probably male, though a vocoder altered lyric soprano is not infeasible. If I hold the grape 6 inches to the left of my nose and peel back the skin slightly, the reception improves. This is difficult, you know.
I know.
But
it's quite... Yes.
It is.
The reception is improving.
It is. It is a recitation of Dylan Thomas's "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night." Except, thanks to wave diffraction by the syrup, the rage against the dying of the light part comes out as... A crow, Corvus brachyrhynchos, swims by. The wake from its turning webbed feet stirs from slumber a pair of parabolic pear halves that had attached themselves to the bottom of the tureen. It says, with a peculiarly corvid accent that resonates in my teeth, prompting a wake-up call to a strand of floss that had wedged between the two upper cuspids long ago, but which still retains its sentience. The pair halves also respond, though in a medium about which I can only speculate. Automatically, I return the compliment. He nods, acknowledging the brief quid pro quo, and swims on.
Ow.
A potato languidly approaches, and I begin to have doubts about the authenticity of the fruit cocktail. I try to avoid it, but it gravitates to me like a consonant to a Dutch language camp. It bumps into me, making eye contact, and I have a sudden memory of another story, one so riddled with plot convolutions that I figure one more loose end can't hurt. I push off from the potato and shoot to the surface, where I momentarily bob like a surprised maraschino cherry. Directly above me is poised a gigantic, runcible spoon, and my sanguine attitude fades. I hastily paddle to the nearest side of the terrine and dive into a mound of brown, cowering apple wedges as the spoon plunges into the fruit cup. For a long moment, there is utter, eerie stillness. But then the spoon triumphantly pulls out of the syrup the hapless potato in its bowl. It grumbles. I am no longer keen to hang around and begin to climb upon the apple wedges. Fortunately, they afford reliable purchase, and I am able to scramble up the side of the terrine. The spoon returns, re-cleaves the cocktail, and scoops out two cherries and the crow. This time, their rage is palpable, if futile. But it is also contagious. I can feel the fury welling up inside of me. As the runcible spoon returns for a third helping of helpless fruit cup, I against it. It pauses in its downward arc, then approaches me with circumspection. The spoon glimmers with deathly darkness, and I know that the hearty trencherman on the far end of the handle is the old Reaper himself. I cry out as the prongs of the spoon pluck me from my purchase. The terrine disappears behind me. The Stygian shore looms ahead, inescapable, perhaps, though I continue to rage, for I will not go gentle into that good night. Nothing so daunting or fruity accompanies this 309th episode of Calvos and Damien's New Music Bazaar, for it's springtime at last.
Springtime at last!
In the rollicking hills of Middle Vermont.
Springtime at
last. Oh, yes. The snowpack is retreating into the darkest recesses of the woods. The back roads are doing their annual imitation of amusement park rides. The crows are circling high above, ready to swoop down and pounce on any unwary cherry. And in the headquarters of local affordable WGDR Radio, eager to take whatever spare change you, our listening audience, can muster during this fundraising session, looms Calvos.
Yes, Calvos does loom.
You loom.
I loom.
We will have to play that again.
I'm losing my voice.
Oh. Oh,
that was
bad.
A little rough on the old Tibetan vocal cords.
Yes,
I've got.
Sorry there.
Okay, well, I can put that away now.
Yeah.
Along with that, we listened to something really cool.
It's called Fists. It's in by Perry Bodkin, composed and performed by him. And it's from a CD called Combines Three, Memories, Dreams, and Other Abstractions. And I do want to play that again sometime when I'm not nattering over
right,
top.
Right, nattering over top. Well, that was just, but it was really fun to hear it sort of underneath and, mm-hmm. and how it disconnected your caboose.
It did, yes.
And we're listening right now to Peter Van Riper from 1973, a recently released CD, limited
Speaking
edition.
Of Grim Riper.
Yes, exactly, called Sound to Movement. On the private label of Van Riper Editions. But before we get to the specifics of that listening process, we will talk a bit more because this is indeed our Calvos and Damien's home host station's fundraising time. The number here is area code 802-454-7762 or 9962, and you can call up to pledge. We have some Calvos and Damien specific items as
as
lots of other stuff. There's certainly gift certificates at Bear Pond Books for $40 pledge. You'll get you a $20 gift certificate. We like book stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to advertise the pizzas here unless you really want them.
Well.
Yes. Let's see. You can have a $15 gift certificate from Exile on Main Street in Barrie. That's for a $25 pledge. That means a good hunk of cash going to WGDR to keep it on its pathway through the year of independent community radio, something you just can't get anymore in the age of public radio monolithicism. What do you got over there?
We also have from, for $50, you can get one pair of custom-made hand-knit radio transmittens.
Oh, yes, the transmittens are still available.
Devo. Yes. For only $10, a woodcut print by Jenny Ettelson.
Yes.
$50 will also get you a $25 gift certificate. Well, $25 goes somewhere. But from the Flower Basket in Hardwick, $15 will get you the book Vanishing Vermont.
And one of my favorites is coming up next. Oh, the Dan Ary book is Vanishing Vermont, but that one's coming up next.
They're vanishing
$20.
Fast. The handmade wood crate CD crate with 3 random CDs.
I love the idea of random CDs in the CD crate.
Yes, we're overflowing with random CDs ourselves. I don't know if we could contribute, but I'm sure we can.
We will.
We will.
Yes, indeed. Let's listen to the rest of Peter Van Riper. 454-7762, 454-9962. We're going to come back to you in about a minute and a half and ask you for that again and give you our Calvos and Damien sort of promotional presence.
Oh, that's us.
Circle Song by Peter Van Riper. We'll let that CD continue as we talk to you a little bit more. We'll let it continue with Double Sound by Peter Van Riper. And we're going to do what we usually don't do. First of all, we'll tell you, and this we do. Yeah, that we have an interview coming up at the top of the hour in 15 minutes with Yannis Kyriakides. This was recorded in Amsterdam. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we will not interrupt the interview for fundraising. So you've got to give us a call during this time or during the interview itself, but we're not going to give that number out then. So 802-454-7762, 802-454-9962. For your fundraising pledge. If you're calling from out of the country, listening on the internet, the country code is 1, so it's your access code, usually 001-802-454-7762. Give us a call, and the reason you should give us a call and pledge to WGDR is because Calvos and Damien would not be possible without it.
We wouldn't be hostile without it.
Possible.
Oh, possible.
Possible.
Yes,
I'm still, still doing that. And we're given the opportunity almost 7 years ago, it'll be 7 years next month, to do this show. And because we had the opportunity, we broadcast locally, and also shortly after we started broadcasting this show, we also went online, and music available nowhere else was available through the Calvos and Damien website. You could hear the shows. Now, that caused some things to happen. Lots of composers are interested in the show and bring music that you can't hear anywhere else through private releases like the one you're hearing. There will be a festival here in August, which would not have been possible were it not for the open door of WGDR. And furthermore, this doggone show won a major award from ASCAP, the Deems Taylor Award last year. In spite of us. And it won that award, and it couldn't have won that award because it wouldn't have been here if it hadn't been for WGDR. So we are
We are demanding that you call us now to say you are happy to have that award, and we are happy to...
Whatever. You know
yes,
that. You
of
know
course.
It gets me all worked up because
I
love this idea of have the Peak phone calls rolling
us,
in, you know.
Sending us money. That's a good idea.
Good idea. 802-454-7762. 802-454-9962. Top of the hour, our 150th interview we've broadcast on this program with Yannis Kyriakides. We'll hear his pieces like Pneuma, Trace, Affectio. We'll also hear the Conspiracy Cantata and a piece called Bird. These will all be pieces that are not commercially released. You can't hear them anywhere except here on this show and on this station. So the lights are not lighting, and we're going to have to crank it up some more. Louder! Get louder! 802! Come on, you can do it.
Glipsob.
802! Glipsob!
For your mnemonic people,
your
it's
mnemonic
GLIPSOB.
Yes, for your...
Mnemonic
pleasure.
Yes.
802-454-7762. Call now, and then we'll listen to two more minutes of Peter Van Riper, and in 13 minutes, our interview with Yannis Kyriakides. Peter Van Riper, that from a CD from Van Riper Editions, a private release. You can't get it
not
except
available
on this
in
show.
Stores.
Double Sound, that performance from 1970, what was it, 70, 70, 73, recorded at the Contemporary Music Center in San Francisco. Actually, these cuts were recorded in Oxford, England. So there it is, something you hear here on Calvos and Damien on WGDR here in Plainfield, Vermont. 802-454-7762. Now something else that you absolutely can't get anywhere else. This is a private edition just put together from music created in 1974 on a synthesizer that is so rare.
Yeah.
That there were probably only about 50 of them ever made, and you know who has them?
Calvos and Damien!
Yes, we
yes, indeed.
Made the mistake. Actually,
nonsense.
It wasn't a mistake. It was actually quite an interesting thing. Well, this premium, this compact disc called Killer Sings, Music for the Ionic Performer,
Yes,
is available as a premium for $25 contributed to WGDR, and we only have one copy for you.
Ooh, and I noticed that the elapsed time is 25 minutes and 1 second. So that's
of only the first track, and the thing has nine tracks.
Heavens to Betsy.
Yes, it has nine tracks. The first track is called The Development of the Consciousness of Space in a Child. It's 77 minutes and 13 seconds. Yep-er. Then Five Daydreams, both long pieces from 1974, from Killer Sings.
And we don't have to comment on the legitimacy of the composition itself. That's for the listener to
decide. Exactly. Here's a little taste of it. 802-454-7762. A pledge of $25 gets you this. It's gone.
Too late, folks.
Killer Sings is gone. The only copy we have available for you of this limited edition CD is gone. The pledge of $25 has been received. We have some other items, however, and of course we still have gift certificates for Maggie's Bread, one of my favorite breads ever in the world.
$20. You're forgetting the Carmora papers.
Oh, yeah, well, the Carmora papers are a bonus. Anybody who pledges to during this show gets a free copy of the Carmora papers.
How very wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yes,
we still have copies that we need to sign.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
all right,
indeed.
Yes.
Let's see, what else can we could, well, we'll have another fancy-dancy Calvus and Damien pledge at 4 o'clock, where we have our special items. But certainly we have, what else do we have in the music biz over there?
Lots of the subscription to the Art of Eating. Does that count as music?
Sounds good to me.
For $60 pledge, it's a music about food, wine, emphasizing...
How much?
Six zero.
Oh, good.
Yes. Also, a one-movie rental from Video Box Office for only $5.
Oh,
come on, folks.
Come on. Yes, a pledge to WGDR. Once again, that number is area code 802-454-7762. We know that you listeners out there in, say, Northfield have to dial that area code. So 802, remember, that is it, the Vermont one, the one that you use every day. It comes in your house with a sign that says 802-454-7762.
I guess we could do we don't have it with us, but next week we could bring maybe a couple of Best of the Bazaar CDs.
Oh, well, we certainly can do those.
Yes, we could.
We could have we have the MP3 versions of those. We could provide the entire set of Best of the Bazaar, all 60 Best of the Bazaars. One compact disc to play on your PC or your MP3 player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we'll have that one coming next week. In advance of that, of course, you can provide a pledge. And also, one more thing. You can provide a pledge simply because it's good for you.
It's good radio
for you. It tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
This radio is yummy.
You will have fewer bouts of gout if you pledge.
And more nightmares, of course.
Of course.
And, well, let's see. Shall we play something else? Well,
sure.
Get a phone call or two while I go wrestle through our Calvos and Damien rare CD collection.
Now, folks, this is your opportunity to put your pledge where your ear bones are, because this is what helps us, gives us some sort of idea that people are actually listening to us, as opposed to the occasions when the electricity goes away and we come here and there isn't anything to do. But if we know people are calling in, if we hear from people, then we know that people are listening, whether they want to or not. I know there are certain federal penitentiaries which broadcast our station, our program, and it's compulsory.
Oh, absolutely. It's part of the pain treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Calvos and Damien pain treatment.
But we know there are also people who listen of their own volition. And those are
wrong with them?
We just like them to let us know that it isn't all pain and displeasure.
Yes, indeed.
So send
it
money.
It is.
Right away.
802-454-7762. And yes, if you're listening locally, we are not a syndicated show on WGDR. We are actually live here in the studios. It's really us. Calvos and Damien are not figments of anyone's imagination except
our own.
Except our own.
Yes,
yeah. Well, let's listen to some Nouveau Banjo.
Fine.
Just to take us to the top of the hour and the interview with Yannis Kyriakidis. Here's Brad Smith, who will be here at the festival in August.
Yes, he will.
This is from the Jazz Suite for Banjo and Piano. This is the fifth movement, Bahoodle-Doo.
Thank you. You're listening to Kalvos and Damien's New Music Bazaar, your red alert for new music.
Here on WGDR Plainfield, 91.1 FM, and on the internet in Shoutcast and Real Audio, and at the telephone number where pledges are being received, 802-454-7762, Glipsob.
So call now. Call today. Why wait?
Why wait? And you and please don't wait. You may call during the interview. We're not going to interrupt this interview with Yannis Kyriakidis, recorded in Amsterdam. So please give us a call during this hour, and we'll be back at the top of the hour with more of
stuff.
our stuff and more of our dulcet tones.
Mm.
Shall we move on to Amsterdam?
To Amsterdam.
On the telephone, that was unusual. Hello,
hello, testing one. Hi, Una. Kalvos and Damien on the road here in near the Tenkatenmarkt, where people are exchanging money for incredible goods, fruit and chocolate and cheap trinkets as well, here in the home of Yannis Kyriakidis.
Tradesman and composer.
Tradesman and composer. Welcome to the show, Yannis. We met 10 years ago here in Amsterdam, and you had said some things which I actually quoted in a paper because I was so impressed, and so I decided that it's time for Kalvos and Damien to come pay a visit to you. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I've been here actually 10 years. Uh-huh. I think when I met you, it was also my first year, so I was sort of finding my way around Amsterdam. And originally I'm from Cyprus. We lived there till I was about five, and then we moved to England after the invasion.
Hence my accent. Yes.
So then I grew up in London and went to university in York, studied musicology there. And there I met Louis, because he came over.
Louis Andriessen. Yeah.
He came over for some festival organized by the Icebreaker Ensemble. I don't know if you know them, they're a great group. And who were all like from the university, basically. And then I met him, and then I somehow met Steve Martland, his ex-student of Louis, and he sort of called him up and said, hey, I've got this guy, he should study with you. He also plays table tennis. And then Louis said, okay, that's fine. Get him. But so I came here 10 years ago, and I studied like a few years. And then as you do in Amsterdam, I don't know if you felt that when you were here, it's like you could, it's 1 year, becomes two becomes years. Five, becomes 10, and then you've lived your whole life.
I wish, yeah. But so, and your music, and we're going to hear quite a few selections of the music today. I have to ask, because most of the selections that I have heard are gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's start talking about maybe a seminal piece for you. Which one shall we hear first?
Seminal piece.
Yeah, something.
Okay, maybe that could be. I don't know. Spee, I guess, is the piece that I'm most happy with.
All right.
And also this other piece, Ida, this piano piece. And the reason why those are seminal pieces is that, about 4 years ago, I think I just left conservatory, and I had like a lot of commissions in a way, and also like for the ASCO Ensemble and all these big commissions. And I felt a bit. Out of my depth, in the sense that I felt I was just writing, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I had this idea of what I was writing, but I just felt as though there was all these people that I had to, you know, I was writing music for it. I wasn't really writing music for myself.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I'd lost the kind of, yep, the whole reason why I was writing. And I think it was also, I was very, very stressed out through work, and I just didn't know how to handle it. So anyway, in the end, I just sort of decided to quit everything, stop. Well, and I just went to Greece for 4 months, and then I stayed on this island just by myself, actually. And And then I just thought, I'll just try to write whatever piece I, you know, really I wanted to write at that time. And it was mostly like, yeah, trying to get back to what I want, you know, like I wanted my music to be, or what I wanted music to be. And like, so then I just wrote these pieces, and those pieces happened to be like, I wouldn't say gentle, but it was probably because of the environment there.
Okay.
I don't know, but somehow, like, I did go back to a kind of, let's say, modal kind of thinking, because I've always been into Eastern Anatolian traditional music. That's like Turkish classical music, Greek mm-hmm. folk music, and also like I traveled around Greece when I was 18 and learned that music, and then I played in, and I still do play in this group, like oud. I play oud and violin, uh-huh. and basically Turkish classical music. So that whole modal type of melodic music, was always like part of me. Not that I would call my music melodic in any way, but it was more like going back to modality, and in a way, I always had this like thing with Louis Andriessen used to tell me that like I should develop myself more harmonically complex manner, and I never really had that inclination.
You answered the question I was about to ask, especially as a student of Louis. I would expect that he would have pushed you in that direction, at least to explore those things.
And he always used to say that there was a discrepancy by sort of like a highly complex rhythmic layer and quite a simple harmonic structure or form. And like I always used to say, well, I need the harmony to be simple in order for the rhythmic refinement to come through. Because if it was rhythmically complex and harmonically complex and, you know, textually complex, then you would lose everything. You'd lose this kind of... And I remember, like I wrote this piece years ago, like when I was 21, which was played on the radio in England, and it was like in a big concert there, and it was quite successful. It was called No One's Filming, and then I had a review of it in the Times, and the review said, you know, but Yannis Kyriakides' No One's Filming was long on space and short on content. And then I took it, it was really like a, but then I realized actually that is what my music is about, actually, and in a way, you could call it sacrificing or like not allowing my... I really try and stay clear from really dialectical kind of situations and partly that's why I got attracted to Louis' music, but also I take twice, sometimes twice as long as I might need to in order to gain something in the sort of perception of the listener, mm-hmm. and also to work on a certain layer of time perception, but also because in the end I want music not only to be let's say heard in a you know analytical way or in kind of an intellectual narrative mm-hmm. kind of way, dialectical I would say. But really, so that it works on you, you know, in a more profound way. And I guess that's also influenced by, you know, in some way, the sort of minimalist American composers.
Well, there's a certain, from what you say, it sounds like your concerns are often with the listener. That's not always the case with composers. I'm really interested in if you will pursue that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the listener. I mean, I don't think I try and stay clear from like cliches and sort of working cliches that create kind of sentimental effects on the listener, you know. Yeah. But not so much the listener and also kind of the space, like in the sense that The music often in my pieces unfolds itself quite gradually, and there is, you know, there's a very strong structural logic in how that happens, but it's I do like the effect when listening, like the listener has in like more, say, minimalist pieces, mm-hmm. that you have room for the listener to get into the music and go out and not feel as though they've missed like something, yeah. And so it's more like it's more a relation of time.
Do you give the listener a chance to learn your language in each piece?
That is one of the most important things, in the sense that often like concept of the piece is quite important in the sound world of the piece, because the three things that I say that I like to work on, like this sort of conceptual, perceptual, and sensual level, which I call like the sensual level being just the pure sound itself, and like working with electronics enables me to really deal with pure sound, so, and the space itself. So everything, mostly everything I do is kind of amplified,
okay.
And I like to work with really big degrees of dynamics, volume, so very loud and very soft, and a kind of sensuality with the sound itself. So I like, you know, like pure electronic sound. I really sort of enjoy, and also if it's acoustic, I really like miking it up very closely and getting like a.
You have a gorgeously simple piece that deals with that purity, which is your piece with the sine waves.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
The piano.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely lovely sound.
Yeah.
Does that piece get at what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, this was, in a way, that was exactly it. I wanted to work just purely with the sensation of that sound, and
that's Ida, right?
Yeah. And that, I mean, that piece was, I guess, you could say, it's quite influenced by the sort of Morton Feldman's sense of structure, that it just starts and goes on, doesn't necessarily go anywhere, but just has this sense of like free floating, and the idea of the piece it's called Ida, but its full name is Hidatorizon, which in ancient Greek it was a word invented by Parmenides, meaning rooted in water, and it's this oxymoron, the idea that nothing can be rooted in water. If it's rooted in water, it's just floating, and he used it to describe a sort of his worldview, in terms of he thought that people themselves, people's consciousness, was rooted in water, i.e. there was no root of it. That people are just drifting in like consciousness. And then, so this piece is the idea, just starts and it just goes on, and you have this stream of harmonic movement with piano just picking out notes. And
it's really interesting, because before you said this, I hadn't considered the idea of the distinction between the time-based notion of music and some of the other art forms in which we can still them in our mind. And sound, we can't really still, and if we want to still it, we have to leave it up to the creator of the sound to still it for us.
What do you mean, still it?
Give it to perceive it in kind of a stasis rather than in terms of something which you're trying to catch up with.
We can look
at a painting or a sculpture, and the sculpture doesn't move away from us as we look at it.
And we're
not running to catch up. Rather, we can take that time and look at it. And it seems to me that the idea of rooted in water is almost the sense of giving it the time. And Feldman seemed to do that. If you were waiting for something to happen, you were out of luck. Rather, you were given the opportunity to almost perceive something sitting there in front of you, as opposed to something moving away from you.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And it's more this sense rather than the, let's say, the filmic narrative sense where this something is being played through, you know, on the stage, and you're sort of trying to follow its kind of narrative. And it reminded me, actually, the time when I went to Greece, I took this essay, which was quite influenced me a lot in the way of thinking, which is this Joe Kondo essay. The Japanese composer Joe Kondo, I don't know how to say it. It's this essay about his basically musical philosophy. And he talked about, I think he called it the psychonarrative, which is prevalent in a lot of new music, which is this kind of expressionism of, you know, ups, you know, like climaxes and climaxes and climaxes. And in that sense, he also formed a musical language which tried to really limit that as much as possible and just stayed in this constant, flat, ambiguous level. Not that I have managed to do that, or I can do that, because that's not really in me either. So, I definitely think I tried to slow it down a bit for myself.
Let's take a break from the interview at that point and play the piece, one of the pieces that he was referring to.
Some time ago.
Yes, some time ago. This is Ida. This is about 16 minutes long, and this is music by our guest today on Calvos and Damian, Yannis Kyriakidis.
Thank you.
But it's, yeah, what we said earlier about the sound, it's true then in all pieces, there's a kind of sound, Okul, and sound identity, and it also has to do with, like, the conceptual side of things, which, for me, conceptual means, like, things to do with culture and language, and, like, because I don't necessarily take the sort of, you know, the Western music history line, you know, as completely, like, I don't see myself completely in that tradition. And so I feel, in a way, I feel free to use anything and everything, like, in a composition.
It's
so that has not necessarily even to do with music, but when that's used, I have to also define it and spend a lot of time defining it. And in fact, sometimes the whole piece, it's just that. It's just, so I might have two or three different things together, which don't necessarily belong together, and I don't try and form some kind of, as I said, dialectical argument between them, but just present them with three like that, and then throughout the piece, you see yourself listening to these three things in different ways, in different orders, but they never really change, they never really develop, and they just are like that. So that's also this conceptual side. So a lot of pieces I start with this conceptual sort of angle in them, let's say, yeah. And the other aspect, the perceptual, has to do with time and has to do with, like, how you perceive time through a piece. And for that, you know, I found that I do often need a longer period to work with, because it's only in a way, often when you go over the sort of 15 minutes, half an hour border, you start listening in a different way. And
yes.
That's so, I mean, I don't say I often get the chance to do that, but now I'm sort of trying to really only work on with longer time.
It's really true about how the listening changes,
yeah,
when you go over a certain length. You know, there's that 10-minute kind of section of time which is sort of very traditional in the Western concert canon. And you go to 15 minutes and, you know, you really got to do stuff to keep people's attention. And then you really can't keep anybody's attention past 20 minutes in kind of a Western canon.
Yeah, yeah.
You're really lost. I mean, you break into
unless,
movements.
Exactly, unless it's in different movements.
You know, or and even operatically, you know, even someone like Wagner with his music drama, still you have scenes and you have a real narrative being told. But the minimalists, of course, brought us the ability to, you know, seminal pieces, like, if we can use that word again, like Drumming or In C, which go over long periods of time. And that's 30 plus years ago, 35 years ago and more,
exactly,
that we're looking at that influence. And of course, you grew up in that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was definitely, like, the biggest influence, simply thinking of my musical experiences, which were the most powerful. And it tended to be the longer pieces, because then you could sort of finally, you know, you lose yourself a bit more in the music, and you're let's say your intellectual defenses, you know, are broken down to certain,
and the people who have walked out have left.
So also, like, this, you know, some pieces of Louis, the piece of Louis which was really, like, blew me away, was like Destat, and then that also had that effect. It was just static, long, and really it sort of liberates your way of listening, and that's in the end, that's what, because it was also came from this dissatisfaction with, I wasn't so satisfied with what's called the salon concert, you know, where you have, like,
salon mentality.
We have, like, a lot of short pieces which, you know, are trying to express themselves in different ways, but in the end, they sort of, they lose their ability to really express something in the music, because the social situation is so defined already, you know, that it's written for, you know, like a flute and piano, and it has to be a certain length, it'll play in a certain place for a certain social scene, and it's going to have to have some relation in a program, which is going to be in two parts.
Right.
You know, and it often... often all those things determine so much more than what your music is. So even if you hear a beautiful, you know, gem of a piece, let's say, it's still it has its limits by which it, you know, can communicate. It's often not really going to change your life, you know, or you know, like, let's put it that way, or really, let's say, give you a very strong musical experience. From my experience, I mean, I would always go out thinking, yeah, beautiful piece, but then I want to hear something by that composer that really sort of blows me away, because, yeah, so it was more like thinking, like, as a composer, it's just often, like, socially, economically, that's how it is. You write 10, 15-minute pieces for groups of musicians who ask you, and I thought, you know, you have to sort of maybe reject that to take a bit more risk, and maybe you have to get your own musicians together, put on your own show.
Well, that's exactly what that would lead to. You know, yeah. you have to put on your own show, because yeah. you have to walk outside of the circumstance where yeah. you're limited to that 10-15 minute, and then here's composer number two, and here's composer number three. Now here's our intermission.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's the big piece at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a formal
yeah,
kind
exactly.
of thing. And my own experience has been that if you are commissioned to write a piece and you write something significantly longer, it's a real problem for programming, it's a problem for the musicians, and you end up, they either will disembowel it by choosing the best parts, which has happened, or you will never hear it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in a way I had that, I often, like, now if I get a commission, I always, like test them out and ask them if they're interested in, like, a much longer piece. And, you know, if they're not so interested, I might not be also interested in doing anything, because of just you want to work with somebody with a more, like, you know, with an open mentality to that. I mean, and it also partly that idea came from also because I, like, the last 3 years, I've also, for the money also, been doing a lot of ballet music. So then you sort of really have to deal with the question of writing, like, you know, 60 minutes of music for an evening.
Right.
And also in a short space of time, but you liberate yourself from, you know, like, having to write, you know, detail that, you know, like, it's going to be very precious.
Yes.
So you just go and even though, like, in the end I also had, you know, certain problems with working with some choreographers, as, you know, a lot of composers may have experienced. But
the listeners to our show cannot see the smiles on our faces. Yes,
we love them.
Let's take a break, yeah. and we'll get back to our interview with Yanis Kyriakides in just a moment.
And we'll get back to the interview portion next week. What we're going to hear now is a long piece called Affectio for cello, harpsichord, and electronics. This is a performance recording of music by Yanis Kyriakides.
Well, what do
you think of that last piece? That was so subtle.
It was. I started to lose touch, but...
That was the idea. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. Every one of these pieces is like that, and it's good thing we have a chance to play them. Here we are with Affectio. We'll be back just past the top of the hour. Music by Yanis Kyriakides.
Cupiditas est quoque est affezione determinata concitur ad acquit agim. Laetitia est hominis transitio. Tristitia est hominis transitio. Admiratio est rei ad opus imaginatio, in qua mente fixa propere amanet, quia ex singularis imaginatio nullam cum relit concomitante idea cause externe. Devotio.
Gaudium et Laetitia concomitante idea rei praeterite quae prater spem revenit. Conscientia morsus et tristitia concomitante idea rei praeterite qua prater spem venit. Miseratio est exitia concomitante idea mali quod alteri quem nobis humile esse imaginabile. Thank you.
amor, erga aliquem, qui alte benefecit. Indignatio est odium, erga aliquem. Latinus hominem intaficit, ut exalterius felicitate contristetur, e contra ut exalterius malo gaudet. Misericordia est amor, quatemus hominem intaficit. Ut ex bono alterius gaudeat, e contra ut ex alterius malo contristetur.
Hello, this is Michael Mannion, and you're listening to Calvos and Damien's New Music Bazaar, your Red Alert for new music.
Here on WGDR Plainfield.
Well, that was quite the tune.
Was that mysterious enough
it
for
was,
you?
It was an oddity. I was captivated.
It is. It's just that way. Music by Yannis Kyriakidis, our guest on Calvos and Damien. We'll finish that interview next week. We'll have another couple of pieces, including Pne, which is a piece about breathing with regard to things like bassoons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, gosh, what else will we hear next week? We'll hear
music by Kyriakides.
Yes, yes. Oh, Spee. He also talks about Spee, and we will hear that as well. So, there you have it. That's just mysterious. Mysterious. Yannis Kyriakides here on Calvus and Damien. And we
are... Speaking of mysterious, it is...
We are fundraising.
Ah, that's mysterious in itself. And it's mysterious that we, alas, passed the hour without a single call.
Yes, the number here is 802-454-7762. I don't feel bad about not getting a call because I know people were paying attention to our interviews.
Oh, quite. As they are paying attention to us right now. And
yes.
Little buzzy sounds coming out of their speakers.
That is the premium for this... this next few minutes, the last limited edition premium we answered, which was Killer Sings, the 1974 Ionic Performer recording.
And this is the antidote?
This is the antidote. This is called Zanuel Glaze 2. This is a piece for electronics and string quartet. Again, a limited edition recording only available here on Calvos and Damien. This was recorded in Prague. You're listening to the part of it that's the original vocal part transformed by electronics. And then we can move ahead here to the next section and maybe...
And okay. I should point out, as this has been documented by researchers, that if you play this CD loud enough in your house, you will rid yourself of all pests, both insect hive and people who stay too long.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's listen to
a little bit of it.
And the CD is available for a pledge of $25, limited edition, signed by the composer. And called...
Who would be me.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And
so signing is not a problem.
No, because I'm right here to do it. The
Styx
Q VIP Positive String Quartet, a recording made in Prague in 1999. This is Zanuel Glaze 2. This is part 6. Oh, yeah, 802-454-7762. Pledge of $25 will get you that premium.
It didn't work.
Well, they're not calling in droves for that tune. 802-454-7762 gets you... Yes.
Perhaps they're just cautiously optimistic, and they will mail in...
Optimistic, hoping that it'll get more interesting?
It did get more interesting.
It is interesting.
It is, so people are probably writing in.
Well, name some more things on the wall, then.
Not on the wall. We have things to pledge ourselves,
well,
don't
what, do you what else do we have?
Beats me. I didn't
well,
bring
Well, I mean,
my
along,
things.
With that, along with that CD comes a copy of the Carmora Papers.
Oh, absolutely.
A sci-fi novel of low quality.
True, but it is bound.
It's bound, and it's printed on newsprint.
Yes, excellent.
Guaranteed to decay in no time at all.
Depends on how you use it. There is a game called Hidden Talents, not from us, but it was donated by Summer's
Hardware. Yes, we
hardware.
Don't have any all no. of our talents, whatever they are, on the surface.
Quite right there. Called The Wackiest and Tackiest Things About Your Friends for a $30 pledge. I don't see how anyone could pass that up, but I'm not anyone.
802-454-7762. Or you could just contribute to the health, vitality, and enthusiasm of this station
True.
Through your enthusiastic... hosts Calvos and Damien on this show.
That's us. You don't need to get anything in return. Just the pleasure of knowing that you have contributed to
artistic vitality.
Yes.
Nerve.
Yes.
The red alert.
Yeah, that too.
That too. All right. Well, let's turn off this dreary stuff and get you get you all excited by this next piece. We have some music by Beata Moon.
This is Beata.
I don't know how it's pronounced. Beata sounds so much better.
It does, but she seems to deal in odd rhythms, so she says. So it might be Beata.
Beata. Perigee and Apogee is the name of the piece. And no, you can't have this for a pledge, though I suppose we'd give it up if somebody wanted to pledge. But sure. Here it is from Perigee and Apogee, music by Beata Moon. This is the first cut called Safari. Music by Beata Moon, or depends on, I guess, what language you're working in.
Beata.
Beata Moon. Beata
Moon.
From Apogee and Perigee, or is it Perigee and Apogee? That was the first cut, Safari. This CD just arrived yesterday's mail, so we're playing it fresh here on Calvos and Damien. Everything's fresh here on Calvos and Damien.
We even do no staleness.
Even if it's 50 years old, it sounds fresh.
It does. It does from us.
We only believe in that
yes.
freshness here. 454-7762, area code 802. We want some fresh leaf cash.
Yes, call us. Be fresh with us.
Oh, yes. You can say anything you want on the telephone. We won't put you on the air.
Because we don't know how.
Well,
we did it once.
We did do that once. We actually got something, telephone calls from Japan and Georgia here. Uh-huh. Where else can you hear a three-way telephone and three-way internet hookup with Georgia, with Japan, and with Vermont?
And not have to pay for it.
And not have to. Well, that's what we're asking now.
Oh, right. Pay for it.
802-454-7762. You couldn't have heard Roddy Schrock and Robert Duckworth anywhere else except here on Calvos and Damien, here on WGDR. Give us a call. Make a pledge. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to play another little short tune here for you from Carrie Nutman while you give us a call. We want you to jam those lines.
Yes. All lines are open. 802. Operators are standing up.
And they don't hunt. The dog don't hunt. So you got to call either 802-454-7762 or 9962. The dog don't hunt, so you got to go from one line to the other by yourself. 802-454-7762, 802-454-9962. Here's Carrie Nutman, the soundtrack for Mr. X. Music by Carrie Nutman. I tell you.
Well,
we don't always promise you, you know, the best on Carlos and Damien, but we always promise you it's
something.
Free.
Yes, that's it. Except not quite free this week,
not
nor
today.
Next week.
Not today, not this week, not next week. 802-454-7762. Flood us with calls. Make it impossible for us to get out of this show. Make us keep talking so we can't play you the top 12 charts of prenatal music by Erica Jurgens.
This is great stuff. It's you wouldn't hear it anywhere else.
Nowhere
probably.
But here. So 802-454-7762. Do it now because we want to be interrupted. No? They won't interrupt us?
Well, we could tell them what's coming up. There's a festival.
Yes, in August 25th and 26th. We'll have information on tickets and everything else. 100 composers from around the world will be there, and we want you there, too. Also, next week, Yannis Kyriakidis here, part two, with some more of his very subtle music, which we like bunches. Mm-hmm. Bunches owe it. Okay, last chance. Here's the number. Otherwise, you're going to have to pledge for somebody else.
What a shame.
But you can still say Calvin.
Oh, yes, yes. Please say that.
Top 12 charts of prenatal music, 802-454-7762.